on, Norster Kenius.
I always like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geek though.
My lord! American Marketing! Border Charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 94 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, February 28th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about streaks, yo, and the trade deadline. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening.
How's it going, boys?
Yeah, not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Another week.
Getting by.
Yeah. A little warm.
Yeah.
Bit colder. Not cold, but colder.
I don't know. My yard's clearing up. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I was driving back from Fargo this morning and got word that there was snow on the ground here. And then we get here and there's nothing on the ground.
Yeah. It snowed, I think, for like maybe an hour and a half this morning. And obviously nothing stuck.
Right.
So, I mean, I saw that. I looked out the window at work at like 10:30 this morning. And it was some big, heavy snowflakes. And then by the time I went to lunch at 1, there was like nothing on my car.
I'm sure the ground was just way too warm still.
Cars were too warm.
you gotta love a nice February warm up, right?
yeah. Why is that?
Thank you, El Nino.
I'm betting. I was talking to some guy at the local watering hole establishment earlier this evening while I was getting dinner. We were watching Crashed Ice,
right?
And that happened in St. Paul this past weekend. I'm wondering how they dealt with the 64-degree weather going downhill on ice skates.
Crank up the coolant, right?
they're supposed to be able to work up to, what, like 65, 70 degrees, something like that?
Oh, we were pushing that, weren't we?
So, yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we get too far into things, I'd just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box. Let's talk some Wild here. So the Wild go 1-3 on the week with three straight losses at home against the Islanders, then two road losses against the Flyers and Caps, and then a win today against the Panthers. Today was the first win we've had at the X since December 28th.
So all you people that had tickets to the Wild in January.
And February for the most
and
part.
And February except for today. Tough luck.
As long as it was a ticket to the X, because we did win one home game. But it wasn't at the X.
It wasn't at the X, though.
But yeah, two full months without a home win, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
Without a win in their home building.
Right. Which means I think they should move to Minneapolis.
Eh? Or rip the roof off the X, right?
Raise the roof.
We could demo the Target Center and build a new arena there, right?
Right. I mean, let the taxpayers pay for it.
And you have Target Center right there. You got Target Field right next to it, so they could play an outdoor game whenever they wanted.
We'll leave the Target Center there. We'll have to build another arena over there, though. We'll call it Target Arena.
So you got Target Center, Target Arena, and Target Field.
Right.
Sounds like one big Target for a bomb.
And then
but there's no Target Stadium.
That's they need to rename.
Oh, that's for the soccer.
Oh yeah, and then we'll rename.
That's St. Paul though.
We'll rename the Vikings Stadium Target. We're running it. Target Dome.
No, we'll just make that a Target.
Well, okay.
That thing's ugly.
I don't know. I think it looks pretty awesome myself.
I think it's big and cool. Ugly.
What do you expect?
That's what she said about you too.
Well, yeah, big and ugly sounds about right.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Anyway, Hala, you know, he's really shined over this during the Torchetti era. He's now up to 3 goals with 6 assists in the 8 games since Torchetti became head coach. And actually, this week he was named the second star of the NHL. Which is pretty amazing. I mean, he's really turned things around here. Other big news is that Koivu is now the new Wild leader.
Yeah, he passed up Schultz?
Yep. And
Charles?
No, another St. Paul guy, though. In case you're wondering, that's a Peanuts reference. Not penis, peanuts. With a T.
All right. Well, you know, now that we're 8 games under the torch, is this team really any different? I mean, we've now got another. He's got his first legitimate loss streak here, 3 games in a row. After winning the first 4,
2 games.
No?
3.
3. Islanders, Flyers, Capitals.
Oh, I forgot about the Islanders too.
Yeah.
Most people do. Have you seen their arena? Apparently their home state forgot about them. Their scoreboard's off center.
Do we think this team is different or is it just more of the same?
I think it's more of the same. I think he's working with some different options, though. Under Yo, with Parise in his stint where he was out, we would have never seen Schrader come up to the first line.
Yeah, this is true.
I think we're seeing more play out of Halla on some better lines than what we would have seen with Yo.
Yep.
So the team, the players themselves, I don't think are different. I think who they're being played with is a little bit different, which I guess in turn may end up, you know, mentally making them a little bit better player if they're feeling like they're riding a little bit more of a high horse rather than being, you know, shunned to the doghouse.
Right. And, you know, and we did lose Parise for a couple games that road trip. He was gone. Yeah. And we've been without Zucker now with a concussion. Well, first it wasn't a concussion. Now it is a confirmed concussion. Well, and so, I mean, we're battling injuries.
And two of those losses, considering who we had out, weren't, I mean, a loss is a loss, but
right.
they didn't look, on paper, if you look at the numbers, it's still a loss, but watching the games, they weren't horrible.
But then again, they're leading late against the Caps.
They were leading the Caps almost the entire game.
Right. And then they you know, just let it trickle through. And
you know, in my opinion, I definitely have to say that there's definitely some new life in the team. And yeah, it's probably not so much different as maybe a little bit more motivated. I guess I'm seeing from my end that there is a good, you know, it seems just like there's a good work ethic out there right now through all the lines. And I don't think that, I think that is probably part of the whole honeymoon thing. So I don't know that it's really any difference for the Wild here, but I think there's new life in the team at least, you know?
Sure. Well, you know, given that how well Hall has played here, you know, is he really just underlining how poorly managed the team was under Yo? Or are we just looking at hindsight as 2020 and, you know, that's all it is?
Yeah, I don't know. In my opinion, I think that it's good to see Halla out of the doghouse and able to run around the yard now, finally.
Off the leash?
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if I would call it poorly managed, but maybe a little bit of a different approach. I did hear Halla's comments after the game today, actually, where he was named the number one star. And he had some comments about just the difference in how, you know, how he approaches, you know, players' mistakes and the learning opportunities and stuff for that. And so, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, different styles work with different people and, you know.
And then on the same token today, Dumba basically, he gets called for was essentially the retaliation penalty while the Wild were on the power play. And, you know, the original one was a Brad Meier missed call. Go figure.
Meier missing calls.
Yeah, I know. Who thought Brad Meier would miss a penalty call
on the Wild?
On the Wild.
Well, I don't think we're the only team that
this is true. I mean,
calls on.
He's just a terrible ref. But it was a missed call, and then basically Dumba, you know, obstructed the other way by not moving but that's not neither here nor there. And he basically lost his spot on the power play at that point. So it's also he's not as consistent as as people want to make him out to be. He's still got foibles, much like Yo did.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing he has going for him though is he came into this with untainted glasses. Like, he hasn't seen or worked with the players from the beginning of the year. I think Yo kind of got to the point where there were certain things that he saw in players, and as soon as they did that, it automatically triggered a instinctive, you're not playing good, so you're getting demoted.
Sure.
Maybe especially with some of the younger players.
Yeah.
Well, with Koivu now playing 744 games for the Wild, he's got 2 years left on his contract. Would you be taking the over or the under on him hitting 900 games in a Wild sweater?
I'm going over.
I mean, if you do the math, figure he's going to play most of the games,
he's not and doesn't get injured. Traded,
he
doesn't go out for injury very often. When he does, he's usually back within a game or two. And at 744 games, 82 games a season, you're looking at, not counting postseason, you're looking at missing, 8 games in 2 years?
Well, he's missed 15 games at least 3 times in his career. So, he's not unknown for,
it's doable.
Having some stretches where he might
get hurt. You get 1 year with a playoff run, though, and that'll make up for it.
But this is regular season games, though. This isn't counting.
Just straight regular season?
Straight regular season.
I see it happening because, anything can happen, to a player, but I think he'll do it. I think he'll hit 900.
Koivu is no Gaborik. He does not stay out of the lineup for that long.
All right. So you think he's going to hit it too?
I think so.
How much longer after 900 do you think he'll be around then?
I
might as well shoot for 1,000.
So you think he's going to get re-signed when that comes up?
Might as well finish it out here. Yeah.
I think he'll be franchise.
Okay. I don't know if I agree, just because he's going to be asking for a lot of money and he's not going to be that good.
Yeah.
But who else is going to pick him up then?
Someone will. I'm sure someone will. He's a big player, and even though I think we overvalue him, I don't think, a defensive-minded forward who can actually dish the puck isn't the worst thing to have.
And he's a solid center in the faceoff dot.
And he's a solid center. And, people like having solid centers on their teams. They'll figure.
One of the few that we have.
Right.
No, I think he'll be franchise. So, Yo, we briefly talked about him last week. Just briefly.
Just briefly.
He's kind of been in the news, and he finally came back into the news again and gave his presser. I think K-Fan had it originally, or K-Fan had aired it, but it was all the major media outlets.
I think he was doing the rounds is what it was happening, yeah.
So, some highlights or lowlights or lights, I guess, from his talk was he hasn't watched much of the Wild.
Blue light special.
Green light, red light.
What color is the goal light? Red.
Red.
There you go.
He was talking about disconnect between the older and younger players. Backstrom was one of the first to text him after being fired. And he's planning on being a head coach again. His thoughts. One of the questions that he evaded, and he wouldn't really comment on but was Adam Oates coming in as recently as January 12th, I believe, in Buffalo to the morning skate.
Yeah.
He
wouldn't comment on it. He said, I would have done things differently, which means there must have been something. Something is not right in the...
Because Adam Oates also had practiced with the players preseason or...
Working on the power play.
Working on the power play in the offseason.
And I guess it was pretty easy when it was just the offseason. It was pretty easy to dismiss him being involved as just the players want to get better. Players mm-hmm. get separate coaches during the offseason all right. the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he's being brought in midseason, under the auspices, I think he was originally there for He was meeting some friends or something like that, if I remember correctly from the article.
The Parisi, did he play underneath him in New Jersey?
I don't remember. But to my point is, if you bring him under the auspices of he's meeting friends and then he ends up kind of doing an instructional or whatever, you have to wonder who's running the place. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds to me like Suter and Parisi are running the team.
Yeah.
And that the coaching staff really isn't running anything.
Well, that
was
kind of alluded to that, you know, Yo gave the leaders of the team, you know, a bunch of responsibility that maybe should have been the head coach's responsibility.
Or should have been Brunette's, who is, I believe, the coach for the power play, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, in my opinion, you know, players looking to maybe gain an edge where possible or anything by, you know, looking outside, you know, us in our daily lives. If we want to improve upon something and, you know, we're going to basically try to find resources to help us improve that, right?
Sure.
So that's okay in my book. Whether or not, you know, Yo had any previous knowledge of this, you know, of the Adam Oates showing up or that he was going to be there or
right.
or what it was all about, I don't know. But really, I mean, from Yo's perspective, it probably, you know, was kind of like a kidney punch, really. I mean, basically it's saying, you can't give me what I want, so I need to go somewhere else for it. But I don't know. At the same time, you know, a coach that is a good leader is going to, you know, be okay with his players, you know, doing things to better themselves and grow. Now, whether or not that kind of oversteps bounds into how he wants to run his system, that's, you know, that's a whole nother thing, whole nother ball of wax there too. You know.
Well, so if the inmates are running the show, do you think Adam Oates is going to be a potential candidate for the next head coach?
Personally, no, because he didn't do a very good job in Washington. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, I just don't see it happening. He's already, I mean, who knows? I guess it's really going to depend on, you know, one, what Torch does for the rest of the year, and two, is going to depend on what Leopold does with Fletcher. Once those two questions are answered, that will really affect, you know, what we end up doing. And I don't think Oates is going to be in the mix. There's too much baggage there, I think.
So, you know, one of the other things that Yo had said is that, you know, he wants to be a head coach again, and that he thinks he's a solid head coach. And he's got a good shot at getting another job as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has a year left with his contract, a year left on his contract with the Minnesota Wild.
And they did sound like there was a possibility he could do some scouting for the Wild or something like that.
Or something in the off, or, you know, yeah, something.
Not directly involving player
development. But more so like, yeah, scouting or research. Do you foresee him doing anything with the Wild in the next year?
I don't.
I mean, isn't that kind of almost a slap in the face?
I personally can't remember an instance where that happened, where they fired him and then kept him on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be a unique situation. And honestly, if Yo wants to be a head coach again, being a scout isn't going to help him a whole lot.
No.
You know.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think at this point there most likely won't be any association, basically, between the two. Bygones be bygones, and we'll go our separate ways at this point.
And he's getting paid regardless, so he could go do something else and make more money.
Fish up in Canada all year long.
He could take the year off. I mean, he's got a few different options,
right?
You know, depending on what he wants to do. Yeah.
And I definitely think that, though, Yo, if the right deal comes along, that he'd probably...
There's going to be a lot of teams looking.
Oh,
exactly. You know, end of the year when When heads roll.
When a quarter of the teams fire their coach.
Yeah, was it a quarter? I thought I saw a third. Yeah. But
Because not everybody won the Stanley Cup this year.
Right.
You know, because that's the expectation for every team.
Yep.
And, of course, every team can't. Oh, no, they can't all win it, can they?
So is this coach roulette until you find the right combination of coach with team?
Yeah, well, you look at a lot of coaches that have won, you know, the Cups recently. They wasn't their first team that they're with.
Hitchcock.
Quinville, you know, that wasn't, the Blackhawks weren't his first team. If you look at Sutter and Daryl Sutter in L.A., wasn't his first team. Mm-hmm. You know, there's plenty of guys that, you know, they get it figured out on their third or fourth try, you know, but then they also happen to match up with a team that has a lot of talent. So
you know, that was one thing that Yo had said. He's like, you know, I look at my peers and basically all the good coaches have been fired at some point or another. Yeah. So, you know, he's like, it's the first time he's been fired from any position.
Well, I remember hearing in his comments that, you know, basically, I mean, he laid it out flat. He said, I've been a winner everywhere that I've went, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and even with the Wild, I know that he didn't, you know, win a championship with the Wild, but he's got a winning record.
It's hard to argue with his record, you know? Right.
So I definitely don't see, like, I don't see it that, you know, teams would shy away from hiring you if they're looking for
other teams are going to look at it as foreign change seasons. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look at the last 8 games he coached,
right?
Because they don't care about that.
You think that's just like a nice reality check for him too?
Oh sure.
I mean, you know, if you're riding high the entire time, I mean, maybe just that bump down will get you to put some more stuff in perspective.
Well, and he did say that, you know, hindsight being what it is, he'd probably do some things differently.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's for any decision that is that's regretful.
Story of everybody's life, right?
Yeah. You do something you regret, you would have maybe done something a little different. That's
right.
And you change it next time around.
Right. Yeah.
You think he'll get a cup as a head coach?
I personally think he will. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to match up with one team that will have a bunch of talent, young talent, and he'll be able to harness that. I don't know if it's going to be in the next 5 years or it's going to be 10 years. I mean, he's still a really young guy, too.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of – if some teams will give him some chances, I think he's going to be able to make a run.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny, you know, the Wild finally make it to the Stanley Cup and then they have to face off against Yo.
Yikes.
Yeah.
As long as they don't lose to Pittsburgh again.
Yep.
Well.
So, you know, one of the other things he kind of was brought up was World Championship games, I believe, coming up next year.
Okay.
You think it's something that'd be viable that he'd be on the coaching staff for that?
I mean, it's possible.
I especially if he doesn't have a gig lined up at that point. I mean,
it's possible, but at the same point, there's
That's like a non-professional type thing too. So, right? So he could.
Right.
He could probably just volunteer his time for it. And
well, I think the bigger thing is there's a lot of good Canadian coaches. So I mean, maybe it's possible, but he's going to have a lot of competition for that spot. So, you know, it's possible. Sure. I mean, I don't think he's a bad coach. He just didn't have. A team that was cooperative, I don't think so.
Yep. So, that said, let's move on to talking about the looming trade deadline. Trade deadline is tomorrow.
Today.
Or if you're listening to this today.
It's today.
It's today. Or if you're listening to this on Wednesday, it was
2 days ago.
It already happened.
You should have listened to this earlier, you lazy sucker.
But anyway, so Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern time is the end of the trade season. So there were some Johansson trade rumors that were out there.
A while back, he got ended up getting traded to Nashville for Seth Jones.
Right.
Yep.
So.
And I think.
But I think it was confirmed, though, that at least so that there was the deal that was offered.
The Wild offered to try to get Johansson.
Yeah, Brodin and Nino for Johansson, which, you know, that could be quite a bit to give up. But and then there is also the move of putting Porter on waivers, you know, which kind of makes some space for something
quite
to happen.
Quite a bit
there.
Of space.
Yeah. So, well, one player at least.
Yeah. Or
a roster spot at least. That's what I'm. Well, that's
it
what
is,
I
it
guess
is a good chunk. Of, is a good
to.
Chunk of dough though. It was 3.9 mil. Is yeah, what it would have cleared up.
But I don't know that that necessarily clears that off of the books. I think it's just a matter of the roster space itself that.
That well, that but you got to have the players available to fill in that roster space.
That's true as well. So, that said, I mean. We're coming down to the final wee hours here. Who knows? As we speak right now, something could be going down. Somebody could be on the line. Somebody could be taking a plane this way already. Who knows? Do you guys expect a move from the Wild by the at the trade deadline here?
Personally, I hope they don't. Yeah. I also think that Fletcher might feel pressured to, because if this team doesn't win, he has to know his job's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I'm a little worried that they're going to try to make a move for the sake of making a move, and we're going to get screwed further down the line because he's going to trade some more draft picks or more young talent just for the sake of trying to
save. I know,
save
Nick Vladdy going away.
You're right.
Maybe he'll shoot for Herschel Walker.
we get all of Dallas's scrubs
right.
For
we get 6 eighth round picks from Dallas.
Yeah. So yeah, and I guess I kind of have to, you know, agree that, you know, I don't know that it'll be anything blockbuster that we get done here, but I think that something is definitely going to have to change here. I mean, or something will definitely be done to make the change. I have to agree with you that, you know, Fletcher's the next one on the line, basically, you know, if something doesn't happen here this season. So
well, Noster Kenny has had drank some weird Kool-Aid, so some visions are getting a little cloudy.
Cyanide?
Maybe. but here's what I'm thinking. So
he's still standing.
since Porter cleared waivers, he's going to end up going down to Iowa.
It'll clear up yeah? Yeah.
He's going to clear up the cap space. Saku's coming out of retirement. To take up that $3.9 million, and we're going to have the Koivu brothers
woo-hoo!
To win us a cup.
Hockey fans are special.
Yes, he is.
Or I'm 100% inaccurate on all that, and it was Scooby-Doo running across the yard that I saw.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, Leopold talked to Fletcher and said...
you need Saku?
No, basically, heavy-handed ownership, you know, I'm kind of hoping he went, you know, do not mortgage our future to make a run this year. I'm hoping he said something like that, because that means he wants to see what this team does.
Keep it in check. Yeah.
Right. Because otherwise, you know, if Fletcher doesn't have to answer to the fans 2 years from now, what's to stop him from trading more pieces
right.
away?
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe trade it to his potential...
New landing team? Zone.
Wait.
Where he's going to trade himself to.
Wait, you convinced Parise Suter to give up their no trade clause to go to Edmonton? See ya, boss.
Right. So, I mean, if the Wild do make a move, what void do you think they would be, you know, looking to fill? Or, you know, if they do make the trade?
Goalies,
huh? We definitely
we don't have enough.
We definitely need more goalies on the roster.
I you know, traveling with 3, I think we need to get that 4th one in there just for that comfort zone.
Right. So everybody has a buddy.
Backstrom needs somebody to room with.
Well, you know, we keep on hearing center. So
I think we're actually doing okay in centers right now.
But that's what,
surprisingly.
But that seems to be what, you know, but you also look at who we've got for centers. Hall has stepped it up, obviously. I can't see Granlund getting scratched. I can't see Koivu getting scratched. And we've got some sort of love obsession with Stoll. So I don't know
where... Well, we just paid a lot of money for Stoll.
I don't know... Well, we didn't pay a lot of money for him. I mean, we got him off of waivers, so... But I don't know where another center would fit in here, yeah. You know, unless you're looking at moving, you know, say, Granlund to a wing, you know, or doing something like that, or Hall to a wing, I suppose, is possible, too.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess in my opinion, I don't think that, you know, necessarily a center position, but just a forward in general, somebody that can bring in some offense, man. I mean, plain and simple, a lot of our problems revolve around us not being able to put points on the board.
Right.
I remember this conversation a few years back when we got Palmaville that, you know, we brought him in for some offense.
Yeah. I mean, now he's just offensive. When you look at our goalies and how they're performing this year, I mean, it's hard to argue with their stats. I think that they just don't have a supporting cast that's putting up points on the board. I mean, we walked into...
But the thing is who are we going to get at this point that's going to actually make that sort of impact?
That's true. But we walked into Washington the other night. They're playing against the Capitals. I think Holtby had like a whole goal more per game average that he was giving up. But... You want to know what?
He's getting support, you know?
It doesn't
getting
matter.
A lot, well, he's got some pretty talented support in front of him to score goals.
I agree. Yeah. But that's what you need. You're not going to win a game if you don't score any goals.
I mean, but not every team's going to be getting an Ovechkin on their team to do that for
not
him.
Not everybody can have Ovechkin.
And you're not going to get him at the trade deadline either.
I don't think you're going to be getting Ovechkin for a while.
Well, I mean, that level of player is what I mean.
No, definitely not.
You know, you're going to get the Louis Erickson, you know, Drew in.
Wasn't there was rumors with Nugent Hopkins?
Nugent Hopkins. But Nugent Hopkins isn't...
And, Yakupov.
Well, there's basically everyone. Everyone not named McDavid is for sale or should be for sale from Edmonton.
Well, isn't that kind of... Edmonton is like the kind of... the flea market sale where all the players go in and anybody's up for sale.
No, that's Buffalo, I thought.
Well, and with Edmonton...
Buffalo's rebuilding, though.
Every year with Edmonton, we talk, they're going to trade a forward and get some defense in there. And every year, they don't do anything.
They get a first-round forward.
And right now, I don't know that there's any incentive for them to trade right now because... Unless the market is so hot that they can move a guy and get a doorbuster deal, it might makes more sense for them to wait till the offseason when they can actually get some...
When they get another number one first-round draft
pick. Well, when they can actually take time to structure a really beneficial deal for themselves rather than limiting themselves to the few teams that are in the hunt right now.
Right.
Because really, they're limiting themselves on who they can try to pick up. Because who's going to send away a really good defenseman if you're needing that type of talent in return?
Right.
It just does, from Edmonton's standpoint, it doesn't make sense for them to try to move anyone right now.
So speaking of that, who on the Wild's current roster would you be willing to deal away at this point for, you know, something substantial that would make a difference to our lineup?
Anyone, everyone.
Anyone and everyone is.
I don't think anyone is so special that, you know, if the right deal's there, that we wouldn't try to move them.
Yeah.
I mean, not that Dubnyk is great, but we just don't have many. We don't have a whole lot of depth at goal, so that'd be the only one. Only spot where I'd be like, I'm not so sure about trading our goalies because we've got no depth there.
Well, we can trade Backstrom. Oh wait, nobody wants him.
Yeah, because all the games he played this year that showed his talent. Yeah,
right.
All the warm-ups he played.
He hasn't lost a game, though.
He hasn't lost a game, yeah. He's got that going for him.
Undefeated.
Let's send him to Edmonton for Connor McDavid, right?
I almost kind of feel bad for the guy, though, you know?
Oh, sure.
I mean, he's getting strung along here. This is probably, you know,
The one year we've got healthy goalies for most of the year.
Right. But it's also probably, you know, I mean, his career is obviously winding down.
Yep.
But, like, you know, here he is wasting away his last years and he's not able to.
Still collecting a paycheck.
You know, yeah. But, you know, a player is a player. They'd rather be out there competing, I'm sure.
Okay, so I'm willing to deal anyone. What are you guys willing to deal?
Me? I mean, I guess if I had to choose one at this point that I think we could get some reasonable value back for, it would be probably Nino, actually. I mean, I think, you know, Nino he's a decent player. I guess I just personally don't see a lot more upside to Nino. Like, I don't know that his game will be improving that much more over the years to come, but I guess that would be my opinion.
I mean, he's still really young, though. I mean, he's only 23, and we need forwards. Yeah, I mean, he's regressed this year, but you know, and I think the most likely partner we would have would be trading a defenseman for a forward, and so. I mean, not to say that if we didn't have the right deal for Nino that I wouldn't jump at it, but I think it's much more likely that we were to trade a defenseman. I think Wild fans completely overvalue Brodin, so I think that's why...
I can agree with that.
So I think that's why, you know, Columbus balked at getting him and Nino for Johansson.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Brodin is really respected at the same level. He plays minutes, but he doesn't score anything, and... I mean, he
strides alongside Suter.
Right.
Honestly, if we could get rid of Suter's contract, I think that would be one of the first I would want to see go right now.
Our cap situation is abysmal. We've got a lot of older guys or aging guys mm-hmm. that are getting paid a lot and that aren't producing goals, and we need goals bad.
Yes.
Suter and Parise are going to be around, and this kind of goes back to the other question, a lot longer than GMCF.
Yep. And so maybe that's why they let him run the team, because, you know, they're more valuable to this team.
At least to Leopold.
And honestly, they basically got a lot of Wild fans back into the Wild.
That's why people come through the gates, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And us Minnesota fans were blinded by... Oh, he's a hometown boy.
Right.
You know, we eat that crap up.
Okay, so if we were blinded by that,
if you're Minnesotan,
how blind? I mean,
how many times have we talked about getting Big Buff here? You know, just drooling over the thought of getting
him. Yeah, but
look
at the numbers that he's put up.
Well, I mean, but it's true. Well, so is Parisian. Parisi hasn't produced. I mean, I don't think any of us expected him to produce at the same level he was producing in New Jersey, and he hasn't. We've got this unrealistic fascination with Minnesota players as if they were the best players around. And yes, Minnesota produces a lot of very good players, but they're also the ones that are really good are really expensive, and we're going to have to pay for them, and we're going to pay for them for their years where they may not be as good as when, you know, before they got to the Wild, as we're seeing.
But isn't it also the Minnesota way to, like, trade something away and then they get better?
that is true too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Babe Ruth syndrome.
Right.
Let's get on some Twitter talk, eh?
Move on to the Twitter?
The Twitters. All right. I'm going to skip around here on these questions because we've got a whole bunch of questions.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. We'll start with State of Hockey, and that's at MiniPuck2027. GM Chuck Fletcher looks like he is willing to make some moves. In my opinion, this means he has a good chance of returning next season. Agree or disagree?
Maybe a half a season if nothing good comes from it. I would be surprised, though, even with this season, if he's... If his moves don't make a difference, he's gone. And I think we kind of all had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I have to disagree as well. I think that if the Wild fail this year, so does he. Basically, maybe not even just him. There'll probably be some more house cleaning going on in the front office side of things. Obviously, there's, you know, contracts and things like that. I think that that might make it a little bit more of a challenge personnel wise for the team to change. But yeah,
yeah, and I think the chances are low that Fletcher's back. We're gonna have to have some sort of miracle run. I think now Fletcher has now changed.
You believe in miracles? Yes. Unbelievable.
He has now shifted that Stanley Cup or bust from Yo to himself by firing Yo, and it maybe it was always there, but I think now it's basically put a highlighter and dog-eared it, and now that is what it is. Yeah. If there's no cup or if we don't make a deep run, I can't see any way that Fletcher's back next year.
Yeah.
All right. So also from State of Hockey at Mini Puck 2027, looks like we're destined for a round one matchup with Chicago. If we make it, thoughts?
I don't know that that's a given, but if we agree with that hypothesis, I would be worried. I think we'd be foolish to think we have a slam dunk chance of beating them, because we that'd be ignoring history.
I wouldn't call it a slam dunk chance, but I mean, if you look at the Wild's record this year against Chicago, as many troubles as we've had, Chicago is one team that we've been able to actually win against
in the regular season.
In the regular season,
and I don't think, and we've in a lot of those games we played, I feel like Hossa hasn't been around, and he's been a notorious Wild killer.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. My thoughts: Chicago playoffs. Kind of like the spirit that you can only get in Chicago, Malort, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like it.
Oh, boy.
So our next Twitter question comes in from Derek Falska at State of Hockey News. Who is your pick to win the boys' hockey high school state tournament that's coming up? Your Class A and Double A picks.
So, Class A, I think I'm going to go with the team that's gone there, the last 7 years, Hermantown. I know we had some bantering on Twitter regarding, you know, Hermantown continually being in that, and it's like, at what point are they going to be bumped up to Double A? Because
they've got to be right on that cusp. I mean, I think they got to at least have the option to move up there.
Are they on the cusp, or do they just have a good hockey program up there that's, you know, putting out some good players?
But at what point is that team so good that they belong in the bigger the bigger boys?
But it's not a matter of how good you are; it's a matter of the size of your schools.
Oh, say that. Tell that to Rozo.
That's not what she said.
Yeah. Okay.
So what are you guys thinking for single A?
For single A, Hermantown, number one ranked. They've got the best record. But, I mean, you know, you look at some of these other teams, you know, Thief River, maybe. And then you always have your go-to...
Pretty boys from...
Inner school, inner Breck. City, Breck,
yeah.
That are always going to put up numbers. So, yeah. You know, Breck and Thief River are in the... Different bracket, opposite bracket of where Hermantown is. So I would expect to see one of those two against Hermantown. And, you know, and actually, I'll go number one, number two, Breck and Hermantown for the championship. And I'm going to go with Breck. I think they'll take him down this year.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, Hermantown, though, I think they are, you know, they've got to win one here eventually.
It's been a few years. So. Yeah.
So. I think that Hermantown will manage to pull it out. I know their coach, I can't remember. I think he cleared the 500 win mark for high school
hockey. That's pretty impressive.
That's a pretty impressive run as a high school hockey coach. So actually any coach, really. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, as far as AA goes, I don't know who's going to win, but I want to see Bemidji win just because I want Bemidji to win.
It's Bemidji, and I was thinking the same thing. Plus, they're the Lumberjacks. Lumberjacks all have beards, usually, depicting. We all got beards.
You're not a lumberjack if you don't have a beard, right?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
You're just a hipster then, or something.
Let's see.
And the Bemidji hipsters doesn't sound nearly as good.
Beard plus flannel equals lumberjack.
Paul Bunyan.
Well, you need some you need some sort of cutting implement, be it an axe or a chainsaw.
Yeah. Yeah. And a stocking cap.
Yes.
Me, I'm gonna have to go with the number one seed. I think that
EP, huh?
Yeah, Eden Prairie. I mean, their athletics program out there in general is just, I mean, it's obviously that's one of the biggest growing suburbs in the Twin Cities here.
They're real close to the Cake Eaters.
Yes, they are.
They're really just wannabe Cake Eaters, right?
Are they wannabe?
They're a second tier Cake Eater.
Or are they taking over?
They're like the JV Cake Eaters.
I mean, YZ is right out there too, though. Yeah.
So what are you saying? There's too much Section 8 in Edina now, or what?
The ghetto that is Edina,
right?
I don't know, Aaron. I'm agreeing with you though. I would like to see Bemidji do it just because it's Bemidji. I mean,
who wouldn't?
Right.
You know, it's Bemidji. So other than that, I mean, what, Farmington? No. Stillwater? Probably not. Although, I mean, Stillwater's got a good team. Burnsville, Wayzata, Anoka, EP, Grand Rapids.
All right. Yeah. Well, the next question comes in from Teresa Ferris at MNSoda24.
All the fun questions.
The Wild need to pray to the hockey gods. Which ancient Greek, Roman, Hindu, or Norse god should they be calling?
Oh.
Well, I guess for my pick on the god that is, I think that it should be Nemesis, actually. That is the god of retribution. And I'm going to say that they're going to pray to that god because it looks like if we do make the playoffs, we're going to sneak in on the back end again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And
that's what she said.
There we go. And when we do sneak in on the back end,
that's what she said.
We're gonna end up going against Chicago most likely, as we kind of
manga's big.
We kind of alluded to before, and I have to go with the Nemesis, the god of retribution. So hopefully we can get back at him,
Kenny. All right. What are you thinking, Kenny?
I'm gonna go with the Norse god Frisetti. He is the god of justice, peace, and truth, and hopefully praying to Forseti will not give us one of the Brads so we can actually see some justice, peace, and truth in our referee lineup.
I like it. I like it. Well, see, I'm going to go with the Finnish mythological figure Lali, who, according to legend, killed Bishop Henry on the ice of Lake Koilanajärvi.
Oh, yeah?
And is often referred to as the first freedom fighter of Finland. Because why not?
All right. I know we all did some research here, so we had to add number twos and threes on this one. And I'm curious, because it's got to be good.
Dionysus.
That was my... Because
otherwise, I'm getting drunk.
I was going to go Bacchus, and if you look at Bacchus, it brings you right to Dionysus, yeah. the god of booze.
There you go. Let's party.
Jive?
That was actually
we all
one
have
of the first ones
gods.
That I looked at, and then I said, "Oh, I better go with something else."
That was so, it was too easy. It's way too easy.
Yeah.
So okay, so our second pick was all the god of wine and booze.
So you know, three in the box likes to party.
So let's go to the upcoming week.
All right.
Four games on the docket this week. Tuesday. Actually, we got a day off tomorrow. Well, day and a half off because it's an early game today.
I don't
today.
Have tomorrow off.
No, neither do I.
It's an extra day of the month. We should just get that off by default, right?
No kidding.
It's,
what's going on here?
We're getting screwed by corporate America having to work us an extra day this year.
You guys are bankers. You already have like 20 holidays a year. Just
shut your pie
There's
hole.
Only 10.
And you're a sound guy, so you only work like 3 hours a week. So
no, 3 days, 16 hours a day.
Oh, boy. So what's our upcoming schedule, Kenny?
Tuesday, we got the Avs here. Thursday, we're in Toronto against the Leafs. Saturday, we are in Buffalo against the Sabres. I wonder if we'll see Oates again. Because, you know, last time Buffalo. Sorry. Yeah. And then, what do you know? Back-to-back.
Yeah, because we like that.
Sunday, we have the Blues here. So we get to go from Buffalo to here.
But luckily, the Sunday game's a late game. The Saturday's an early game, so...
Yeah, a little bit of... No, it still doesn't even
out. They'll at least get a full night's rest at home after that Buffalo game, provided there isn't weather or something like
Does
that.
Does a full night's rest count when you got to listen to all the NBC sports guys on Sunday?
Well, they're not... Well, they'll have to listen to Pierre, possibly. I mean, depending on who's between the bench, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully, for their sake, they want to listen to Pierre.
So Aaron,
yeah,
with that, we need to pick a game.
Game of the week. I think this is an easy one. I'm picking the Avs at the Wild. The Wild are 2 points behind the Avs right now for that final wild card spot.
Avs still got games in hand on us?
They do have one game in, or we have one game in hand. So
we really need this win.
So if we win this, it makes this thing interesting. I mean, not that it isn't already. But it's gonna be
That's
one of those things.
That's always a good rivalry, though. You know, just seeing if Wah puts his balls on the table.
It never gets old. It really doesn't.
You can't do that.
Humangus B.
Which is it?
Just saying that gave me a semi.
So with that, Avs at Wild game of the week. Kenny, who do you think is gonna win this one?
I think it's gonna be a tight game. It always is against these two teams. At least it seems to be knocked down, drag out. I'm going to go with the Wild winning 4-3. Jive?
I think that's a pretty good call. I definitely think it's going to be a close game between these two. And I don't know. The Wild have to sense the urgency right now that they move up and start playing a game. I mean, it's coming down to the wire now.
Yep.
We're getting close to the end of the season.
They've done this every year for the past how many years where it's like down to the wire and they eke it out with some of these need-to-win wins.
Well, and that's, this becomes like playoff hockey. So I think that the Wild are going to continue to step up their game. I think they'll come out on top as winners 3-2.
Okay, and I mean, obviously we're going the homer pick because I'm also going with the Wild. I'm going 4-2 though because I think it's going to be a close one at the end.
And
Walla's pulling his goalies early, so I think there'll be plenty of opportunity for the Wild to add one at the end.
For
there.
The Wild or Palmerville,
it'll be someone who doesn't deserve a goal. So it'll probably be Vanek, Palmerville, or Granlund.
I wonder how many empty net goals Palmerville has gotten this year. That's question.
Too many.
You know, at what point did we actually just turn on Vanek? Because we were kind of singing his praises early on.
No.
I mean, was it with the entire team?
Don't say we, because I haven't turned on him. The other night in, what was that? In Washington, I think. He dished the puck over to Koivu. With like 30 seconds left in the game. I mean, he couldn't have set him up more beautifully.
Was it just the kind of like the whole team slumping and Vanek was the easy target, though?
I think it's some of that, I mean, I think that's definitely
He wasn't the only one not putting points
on
the board.
No,
nobody
but
was,
because Vanek
was
kind of the scapegoat from last year, just kind of, resurged and happened. Got sick of saying Palmers and...
Right.
Well,
I don't hate.
Heatley's not around anymore.
He's still slow, and he still makes too many passes when sometimes he needs to just shoot it.
What happened to that snipe shot we saw at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, he's shooting. It seems like he's shooting way less, and I think that's part of the reason he's getting dumped on a bit.
Is his locker next to Palmerville now? did he catch some of that?
The Wild... The wild disease, catch it.
This year's mumps.
Pominvillitis.
Pominitis.
The pumps.
The pumps.
Pumps. The pumps.
No pumps. That's yeah. good.
The pumps. We caught a case of the pumps. We couldn't score. Kept shooting wide right.
Oh, all right.
So I think we've got a show done here.
Probably.
You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games or Three in the Box, and again, that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find links to all my stuff at about.me/IamKenny. That is KENNEY with links to my Twitter and Instagram pages with random stuff.
Jive.
Yeah, you can also check me out. I'm also on about.me/HeyJive. Have a good evening, folks.